Hey, this is Seth Henniger, and I'm the associate slash youth pastor here at Lake City Assembly of God, and I am joined here with our senior pastor, Gary Kraft, today, and we're going to talk to you about judging in a minute, and what that actually scripturally looks like, not what people think it looks like.
Because it's a big... It's a big word.
Yeah, it
knocked
is.
Around.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
By everybody.
Yeah.
But we are going to start off like we always do with a great meme. And this is a picture from Tommy Boy. The movie, it's got Chris Farley and his brother in there, and there's something on fire on the desk and paper and stuff, and it says history teachers teaching about the year 2020. It's so appropriate.
Somewhere down the road.
I just can see this. And this plague happened, and this plague happened, and this... we thought it could get any worse, and it did. Like, murder hornets and COVID.
You know, it reminds me, and this was probably a meme, but I just remember the phrase. It said something about, you know... something about Nineveh, and it says, hey, if somebody was called to Nineveh... Would you go ahead and go, because... It looks like judgment is, enough judgment's been meted out. Just obey God, why don't you?
And it definitely felt that way.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And for those who may be watching, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. The story of Jonah and the whale. Jonah was called to go preach to Nineveh. It was a huge city. And really, God wanted them to turn away from their ways and turn toward him. So he had called Jonah to go, but they were arch enemies of Jonah's people. They hated him. Jonah didn't want God to have mercy on him.
No.
And so
he
you know,
them.
So he did, here's the deal. And this is a good segue into our topic.
Right.
He decided they deserved judgment.
Yes.
And really God knew they deserved judgment.
Right.
But it wasn't Jonah's place.
No.
Jonah was called to preach to them and tell them, basically, in the popular phrase these days, turn or burn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that fire on that meme reminded me of.
Yeah.
Turn or burn. But anyway, and when he preached, they repented. That means they turned away from their old wicked ways and they turned toward God, humbled themselves and said, please have mercy. And he did.
And he did.
And he did. And Jonah went off on a hillside somewhere waiting for fire to fall out of heaven. And when it didn't, he said, I knew you would have mercy on them. You know, I mean, it's just...
It's a funny story, really, when you're reading it.
It really is. I mean, it's only like four little short chapters.
It's the only preacher evangelist that didn't want to be successful.
That's right. The only one that wanted to preach the good news of God's mercy.
The reverse Billy Graham.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
The antagonist to Billy Graham. But let's talk about judging, because that word's thrown around a lot.
So much.
What's a common way that people use that?
Basically anything they do wrong, they use this phrase to Christians. Well, you can't judge me. The Bible says you can't judge me.
Uh-huh.
And there's a problem with that.
Yeah.
Scripture doesn't say that.
No. And you know, look, because this does hinge on specific scriptures that people abuse.
Yes.
I need to read that scripture,
that's
okay?
Right.
Yeah, so here we go. Here it is. It says in Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Okay?
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, and I didn't write this one down, but it goes on to say, and who are you, basically, to try to get the speck out of your brother's eye when you've got a log in your own eye? And really, this is almost humorous the way you think of this bizarre imagery Jesus is using.
Right.
And he's saying, listen, how can you try to help so-and-so with their hang-up when you've got this huge thing of your own? And but he goes on to say this, and nobody ever quotes the rest of this. It says, first, get the log out of your own eye.
Right.
And then you will be able to help your friend with the speck
in
their eye.
Yeah.
So really, Jesus was not even saying, hey, ignore the speck in your brother's eye. Don't ever mention it. Don't try to help him with it, because that'll be judging.
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
Yeah.
And so, because as you read through it, you realize the goal is to help your friend or brother with their problem.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
But to do that, you still got to recognize they got a problem.
Right.
There's a discernment going on there. There's an awareness, you know? There's an assessment going on, right?
Right. Right.
So, you know, so people throw that out there as if no one person can say anything about another person's behavior, attitude, or anything.
Yeah, let me do what I want to do and leave me alone, you know.
Right, and if you're a real Christian, you'll do that.
Right.
So.
Well, and I'll say this, you know, and I should have had the scripture reference.
No, that's fine.
It's in Corinthians, and
uh-huh.
I think you might have it.
Okay.
Have it. But Paul actually talks about judgment, right? And he
yeah.
talks about Christians.
Yeah.
Now, he says this, Pastor, mm-hmm. in the Corinthians, he
uh-huh.
says, that we are not to judge the world.
Right.
We have no right to. We're
right.
Christians.
Right.
They don't live by those standards. They don't choose to
mm-hmm.
live by those standards.
Mm-hmm.
Those are unsaved people. So if you're unsaved, no, we shouldn't judge you. We shouldn't be there. But what it does say is if you're a Christian, we should judge each other.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, not judging like, I can't believe you wore that or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep you accountable.
Right.
I'm going to hold you to a standard, you know,
yeah.
that Christ calls us to.
Well, and I will refer back to our last session where our topic was, what does loving like Jesus look like?
Right.
In real street level, practical everyday terms. And we made reference in that session to the fact that loving someone does not mean that you just ignore issues they've got that are hurting them.
Right.
That real love would say, whoa, 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 don't drive off the cliff with this behavior.
Right.
You know, and so, unfortunately, people in our culture have used the word judge that Jesus commands you not to do. They've used it even for that, where you go, I see you hurting yourself.
Right.
I want to help you. Don't run your life off the cliff or run it in the ditch or into the wall. I see you got an issue. It's hurting you.
Yeah.
You may not see it, but I want to help you with it. That's one of the most loving things a person
it
can
is.
Do. That is not judging.
No, and getting, say somebody has a drug problem, helping somebody get to the point of a legitimate life transformation.
Right.
We all know, I think most of us would agree, you know, if you have a meth addiction or something like that, it's not going to end well, you know. It's going to hurt you, not only like mentally and every
yeah,
and spiritually. It's going to hurt you physically. It's going to hurt your family.
That's right.
So that should concern us. We should care. If we
yeah.
just turn our heads and we turn a blind eye, how much do we really care?
Yeah.
I mean, do we really care?
Right.
I don't
right.
think. I see you killing yourself, and I'm okay with it. That's
yeah.
not love.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
that's
and
that's not judging to care.
No, it's not. It's not judging to say something. It's
no.
not judging to try to help them and intervene somehow. Now let's just talk. There's three main words used for judging throughout the New Testament, okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too technical here because maybe people that are watching this, that's not why you signed on here. But the first one is krino. It just basically means to distinguish, to decide. It can be used to imply condemnation and punishment and sentencing someone to something, okay?
Right.
To basically to presume to know what they deserve, okay? Almost every time the Bible tells us not to judge, it combines it with evil thoughts or intentions about the person you're judging.
Right.
Here's one from James, and let me just read it. It's James 4:11. It says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge." And so that's a common combination in the scriptures, both of the apostles and Jesus, where they make it clear when you've got that log in your eye and you're dogging your friend over here because they got a speck in their eye, it's the intent of the heart that is the issue here.
Right.
As a matter of fact, in that same passage where Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged, because with the same judgment you use, you will be judged. About 15 verses later, he says, beware of false prophets. He said, you will know them by their fruit. Well, what is that?
Yeah.
What do we call that?
That's what Jesus says.
Yeah. Jesus said that.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is, it's your responsibility to look at someone's life, look at the fruit of their life, and say, there's a stink in the kitchen here.
Yeah.
There's a bug in the works. There's something wrong here. You know, there's termites in the temple here.
Yeah.
There's something wrong going on. And not so that you can discount and devalue that person. That's the kind of judging Jesus is saying don't do. So when I look at you and I see a speck in your eye, and I go, boy, isn't he a joke? I mean, what a low life, what scum, blah, blah. That's what he's saying there.
Yeah.
It's obviously not saying notice and discern that my friend's got a problem. No, he says it's okay to notice, but make sure you approach your friend with this understanding. I got my own issues too. All God's children got issues.
Right.
And so if I'm going to help you, I do it with a humility and a kindness and a tenderness and a compassion and a wisdom that says, look, as one brother who's got flaws, I want to help you, okay? But I'm aware I got my own flaws.
And I'd say it like this. If you ever take joy and telling somebody a problem they have,
you don't need to be the one to tell.
You don't need to be the one saying something. It should never be a joyful thing to have a hard conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
It should never be a joyful thing for you, you know, I am glad I get to bring this on them.
Right. Well, this same word, krino, is used basically to discern, to decide what kind of response needs to be made to a situation. It can be used to condemn and punish and condemn to hell, whatever. When I hear, especially when I hear a Christian say, well, they deserve to burn, I'm thinking, that's judging.
Yes.
But the issue here is about once again, like we said in our last session about what is loving like Jesus looked like, you can discern someone is struggling with a flaw or a fault or a failure as long as you value them. And any response you give them is because you want to help them, not because you want to feel superior, not because you want to smush their face in it, not because you presume to know why they did what they did or why they're doing it. We can't discern somebody's heart. We can discern that their action was unhealthy, unholy, or destructive. We can discern that, usually. We can many times discern that their attitude is hurting them. But being aware of that, discerning that, assessing that as a problem is not judging them in this sense, okay?
Yeah.
Especially if you have a desire to help them.
Yeah.
And that's the context. Jesus said this. He said it in a context where your end result, your desired result, your motivation is to help them be whole and healthy. Okay? Now listen, that's one reason Jesus warns us about this. And by the way, in another scripture, and I wrote this down, it's in John 7:24. These are the words of Jesus. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Mm. This is Jesus telling somebody to judge. Same word, by the way. And so this shows us that this kind of judgment is assessing the truth of a situation.
Right.
It's assessing the situation for the purpose of having a righteous, compassionate, holy response to that person. Because when this kind of judging is judging the circumstance, it's judging the issue. It's not judging the value of the person.
Yeah.
You're right?
Right.
We're not discounting the value of that person when we say, hey, this sin is eating you up, man. You know, let's pray about this. Let's talk about this. Let me help you here. That's not devaluing the person. That's valuing the person because you've noticed they got an issue.
Right.
Okay. So what's the danger of a believer even doing that? What are the pitfalls of this for us, Seth?
Judging from the outward appearance.
Absolutely. Yeah,
is you know, we can look. The way somebody looks, the way somebody dresses, and I think this is where a lot of people get turned off with Christianity, right, Pastor? You know, you're not feeling like you can go to church because your clothes aren't nice enough.
Right.
Not feeling like you have to have your life 100% completely together to be at church because somebody somewhere down the line was a rude Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were Christian. I take that loosely. With the, you know, these same people existed during Jesus' time, Pastor, and they were called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were the people that irritated Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And those same people that are so legalistic about how you should dress, how you should look.
Yeah.
You can't have tattoos. You can't do this.
Right.
It's all about the rules. It's those people who have given Christians a bad name, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's the danger in that, is we're turning more people away than we're helping by believing that and living in that.
Absolutely. And this is why I said, you know, one of the reasons I said this sense of judging that we are not supposed to do is one that has the intent of meting out punishment or determining value. Like a judge that says, you deserve the death sentence.
Right.
One of the reasons Jesus is saying this is because ultimately God is our judge.
Yeah.
And here's the downfall of us trying to decide someone else's value. For us trying to decide what kind of punishment that person deserves for that behavior. Jesus is saying, the punishment side of this is not in your wheelhouse. That's my jurisdiction and mine alone. And the reason he says that is several things. Number one, we don't know enough to make those decisions and assessments. We can assess what they did or what they said, but we can't. We do not have the capacity within our own intellectual or emotional intelligence to discern why they did it.
Right.
Nor do we have the ability to decide what do they deserve because they did it.
Right.
That's not in our wheelhouse. It is in our wheelhouse. It is in our jurisdiction to say, oh, that's destructive behavior.
That's going to hurt.
Let me help you. Let me help you get through that. Let me help you break free of that. That is not only our right or response, it's our responsibility. The Bible says if you see your brother caught in a fault, go to him. That's in Corinthians also.
Yeah, not publicly. Shout from the rooftops.
Yeah, and so, you know, there are other variations of that word krino. One is anakrino and one is diakrino, which basically you're putting a prefix on them. And anakrino means to question, discern, or examine. Diakrino means to separate thoroughly, to decide and discern. Then there's one more. It's called athesis. It means discernment or judgment. So many times the word judge is used in a way of discerning what is true or false, discerning what is sinful or not sinful.
Right.
And not discerning why, not discerning what they deserve, and never trying to decide what their value is a person. As far as our perspective is concerned, every person is a creation of God, unique, and a treasure to his heart.
That's right.
And we need to treat the worst criminal that way.
Hmm.
I'll never forget, you won't either. Just not too many years ago, a young white supremacist walked into a church in Charleston, South Carolina, at their Wednesday night Bible study, and sat through the whole service.
Yeah.
Ended the service with a hail of bullets and killed, I think, 9 people.
Yeah.
You and I both saw on the news. the family members of those victims stand before that young man and tell him, I forgive you.
Man.
I love you. One of them said, I love you. You're still precious to God, even though you did this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it wasn't, they didn't judge him.
No.
The judge judged him.
Yeah.
But they loved him, but they made no bones about it. You have put hurt on us that no one deserves. You did that. But they didn't say you're not valuable anymore.
Right. And I remember another case in the last year, too, where this woman ended up killing somebody's brother and everything, and the brother gets up, and I use this clip during a sermon, Pastor, and he says, I forgive you.
Yeah.
You know, not only, I don't, he made one of the most profound statements, I forgive you, my family may not agree with what I'm about to say, but I forgive you to the point I don't even want you to be disciplined right now. Right. Like, and it was like, are you serious?
It was a wrongful death situation.
Oh, it was.
Somebody broke in and shot his wife or something.
Right,
like that.
Yeah, and this guy, one of the greatest forgiving stories I've ever seen in my life. Just, I was in tears when I watched it. I heard the judge cry.
Yeah.
As he talked. It was that powerful.
Well, and see, and let me just cover this real quick. There's several reasons God does not want us anywhere near deciding someone else's fate. It's not our judge to sentence anyone.
Right.
It's not our judge to condemn anyone and say, you deserve this, and or to try to hurt them over their flaws and their weaknesses. First reason is we don't know enough.
Right.
We can't discern all the roots of why somebody did something. You have no idea how that person grew up. You have no idea how that person might have been abused or they might have been neglected. You have no idea what just happened to that person yesterday. And you see what's going on in their lives now. You see that homeless person holding a sign up, and you know they've been holding that same sign up for months that says, my house burned down this week. You know they're lying.
Yeah.
But you don't know why.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the reasons that God says, this ain't your territory. Here's the way I wrote it down that just makes me remember it. You don't know what levels or what devils that person has dealt with in their lives. Levels of pain and levels of abuse and levels of neglect and levels of need. You don't know what they've been through. And so you have no idea why they've come to this point in their life and they're struggling with the destructive behavior they're struggling with. Many, many, many alcoholics, their parents were alcoholics. Many that are on death row today, they grew up in abusive or neglectful or homes where there were no parents to train them. They started out with two strikes against them.
Yeah.
And so we never know all that stuff. Here's another thing. We're subjective. If I decide I'm gonna look at you and go, he's just a sorry old rascal. If you know, the problem is we are extremely subjective. And I can see you through eyes of my own pain.
Yeah.
I can see you. You may remind me of somebody that beat my face in high school.
Yeah.
And I can. And that twists the way I see you, your weaknesses, and your flaws. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're subjective in that way. We can't trust our judgment. It better be based on clear scripture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I know the Holy Spirit can show us things that we don't know without our own ability. But we're not even going there right now. But our own personality, our own experiences can twist the way we see other people.
It's the truth.
We can think they're rejecting me, but in reality, I'm not reaching out.
Yeah.
I'm sending signals I don't even know I'm sending, and I'm judging you because you're unfriendly.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, I'm sending nonverbal signals to you that says, I don't want you near me.
Yeah.
And so we're subjective, okay? And our motives are always suspect. You know as well as I do, sometimes we do judge people in the bad sense, because it makes us feel better.
Yeah.
There are Christians who do this thing on people because it makes them feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
And so there's all those
use terms like, well, at least I'm not that bad.
Yeah,
or at least
Yeah, right. And so, you know, those, that's the kind of judge, that's the reason God says, listen, there's times it's your responsibility to tell a brother or sister or tell someone else, man, you got an issue that's going to hurt you, dude, and I love you and I want to help you with it, but somebody needs to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
That's not judging.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing it with a heart of love, with the intent of helping them, not to push them down, not to make yourself feel big and important and almighty and I'm all holier than you. But if none of that's involved, but it's just for their benefit, that's not judging.
Yeah.
But judging is when we want to push somebody down, yeah, make them look bad so we'll look good, make us feel powerful, make us feel in control. You know, that is one of
and
those
that's
things.
Wrong, yeah.
That is wrong.
Yeah.
That is wrong. Well, what are some situations, Seth, where these kinds of things happen? Where maybe someone claims you're judging me, but really it's the right kind of judging and assessing.
I think when somebody's doing something destructive, Pastor, and they don't want to be told that they're doing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going down a destructive path, and honestly, I think in the back of their mind, they really know that they are. But I think, don't call me out on this.
Yeah,
you know,
don't call me out.
Don't call me out. Don't tell me about it.
If you love me, you'll just make me feel comfortable.
Just let me do my thing.
In my dysfunction.
Right. It's not, like I said, it's not a hate thing for us. And so I think that's important what you said. It's just important to discern. And so if you're out there and somebody has wrongfully judged you, I think we've all been in that position before. I apologize to you for that, especially if it was somebody claiming to be a Christian, that's hurtful. But we want to say to you, you know, it's okay. We've got to judge each other's, especially if you do claim to be a Christian, we've got to hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
There has to be accountability or there will never be growth.
Right.
And so we're so glad that you joined us today. We're so glad that you spent time with us.
Yeah.
And listen, I think you laid it out wonderfully, Pastor.
Well, and let me say one more thing, because in my mind, this kind of comes up in the back of my mind regularly. There are several things that are accepted in our culture today, for the most part, that most Christians don't accept as okay.
Yeah.
Okay, certain lifestyles, you know, and they're, I want to say this, you just kind of apologize for all Christians just now, because sometimes Christians are judgmental in the destructive, condemning.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
And not the assessment. But let me say this specifically. There are certain issues in our culture that many of us feel very strongly about from Scripture, that they are inherently destructive and thus sinful.
Right.
You know, the homosexual lifestyle is one of those. And I have to confess that I have seen Christians who have gone beyond saying that's sinful and destructive, but I love you.
Yeah.
They've gone beyond that.
They don't add the I love you
I love you is not in there.
And it's not. It's a hatred.
There's fear there. There's anger. There's and maybe hatred there, that is not of God.
No, it's not.
And I just want to tell you, if you're watching this and you saw the word judged and you tuned into this, I want to tell you, as a pastor, as a follower of Jesus, as someone who knows the Bible fairly well, there are things that we do believe that are sinful and ultimately will eventually be, maybe not immediately, but in the long term will be destructive to you. And to call them sin is probably the most loving thing we might could do for you. But I want to ask your forgiveness for any Christian that has ever devalued you because you have embraced one of those things. You have embraced a certain lifestyle or a certain perspective or some political position or some social issue. You know, whether it's, you know, we have a strong conviction about abortion and homosexuality and transgenderism and things like that. But listen, if you have embraced some of those issues, and I tell you, I believe the Bible says that's going to hurt you. You know, I say it because I love you, and I want you to know you're welcome here at this church. We will never lie to you and say that's okay, but we will value you as a person. We have not devalued your worth as a human being.
And you matter to us.
And you matter,
yeah.
And we will love you regardless. But but because we call that sin doesn't mean we've condemned you to hell or we have devalued who you are. And so, you know, that's kind of where a lot of this discussion is coming from, because that's such a hot topic in our culture. And that goes for many other things, you know, various sexual orientation issues and various things. But I just want you to know that we love you. And so there you go. I just feel like I had to say that.
Thank you so much for tuning in on this hot topic, this one that a lot of people talk about, want to talk about. That's our point of view on it and our Christian view. To the best of our scriptural knowledge, we don't know everything, but if you want to talk more about it, hey, I say this at the end, we're available on Facebook, Nathaniel Seth Henniger or
Gary
Kraft, and you can also contact our church office, and we're here for you. Thank you so much for the time that you've given us. Especially if you've stayed to them. We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, that's right. See you next time.